Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine,
welcome to the show. With a death wish. We begin on a Monday after a dominant weekend for the Astros. If I remember this correctly, they only trailed for half of it, half inning. And it wasn't even really a half inning. Another Baltimore team. The Orioles took a 1-0 lead in Saturday's game, and then the Astros cleaned that up in the bottom of the second to tie it at 1-1. So, it very dominant, man. The pitching was good on Saturday and Sunday. The Jake Bloss inflammation is unfortunate, but it does come with only shoulder inflammation. But, of course, it's the Astros, and despite Joe Espada saying it's good news, who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? But Jake Bloss was a guy, this show, was just hoping to give us whatever he could with the Astros still being in the game. We didn't expect he'd leave the game due to injury, but maybe we should have put that on the ledger, mostly because that's how this Astros season's gone. But that was really the only negative part of what happened. A good baseball team came to town, and they rolled in here and felt what a lot of good baseball teams have felt over the last, I won't use last year because the team wasn't great at home, but over the course of this run, they left here feeling pretty. They came in feeling pretty good. Left here feeling, wow, the Astros are a pretty good baseball team, and that's what the Astros look like. So they're now two games under 500 as they try to make that climb before the end of the month, and they got a really good shot with the Rockies and the Mets coming up here. Five wins in a row. They are one off their longest winning streak of the year. We talked about this last week, how they could never string anything together. And the expectation, at least because of what we've just seen from them, was that it wasn't going to begin with the Orioles, and it did. So you got to credit them. The clutch hitting, even yesterday, they put up four, and at that point, it felt like the game was over. Fromber was on the mound, and you can get good or bad Fromber, but you certainly got good enough Fromber yesterday. He gave up the one home run, and that's it. It was, for the most part, other than Friday, when you were up big, and then it's like, oof, how many guys are going to come in here? Are we actually going to be able to get out of this game? The hope was you could get out of there without using anyone of value, and placing value on people like that's probably not the best thing to do. But I guess guys you want available in what you might suspect were tougher games the rest of the series. And, you know, Montero. It got shaky. 14-11 after how big that lead was. It had to have been kind of a miserable experience if you're sitting in that ballpark. You're thrilled with how the team's playing, and then the runs keep getting tacked on. Wait a minute. I thought I was going to get out of here pretty quickly. Nope. We're going to keep you around. Enjoy your Friday night here at the ballpark.
You're like, okay, they're up 14-3. Cool, going to buzz through the rest of this. Thank God for the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Get some Friday night fireworks. Maybe go home happy. Maybe get some ice cream.
Maybe head out to one of the places around the ballpark. Maybe you go to Cobos or something. I don't know. Yeah. Get a late dinner.
And then instead you're like, wait, Gunnar Henderson again?
How many times have I seen you today? How many at-bats are you going to get?
I reached that point where guys would come up. I'm like, they're already back up. Adley Rutschman's already back
this
up.
Is way faster than I thought was going to happen.
He's bad seven times tonight, and they're still losing somehow.
Somehow. Thankfully, your team had a great start to the game. So, yeah, you can't be more dominant than only trailing for half of an inning and then immediately getting that back in the bottom half of that inning. So you credit this team fighting through injuries, and as we talked about, another one pops up. But it's all good. We're a one-game-at-a-time show, at least until they get to 500. Then we start having bigger-picture conversations, and the bigger picture at some point might be, okay, we're 500. How do we find a way to make it until some of our starting pitching gets back? Because right now they're, like, down to four guys. What are they going to do when it's would-be Jake Boss's turn in the rotation? We'll see.
It's going to be a big hole to fill.
Yes, the rookie from AA who pitched 3 2/3.
Boss-sized hole.
Yes. I don't know his measurables, but it'll be a cutout of that size.
Big shoes to fill.
Yes. Yes.
Big shoulder chin.
Simply because he was healthy.
Yeah, that really was.
That's what you're looking for, a healthy arm that you can put out there.
At this point, until for the next few weeks, it is just, are you healthy? Great, love it. Get out there.
What's that? You've been with the organization for how many days? It doesn't matter right now. We need you. We're going to need you to throw. And that's where they are. But hey, the bats were enough over the weekend, so it did not matter. Hell, the pitching was good Saturday and Sunday, so it was a combination of good hitting, good pitching, and you'll take that. Now we'll move to something, and mostly this is because I have a question for Sean. We'll continue to talk Astros. Certainly, I asked this question before, but these guys weren't Texas guys. They weren't tried and true burnt orange people. Tonight, the Aggies have a chance to win their first title that most of them care about. Look, I know we had someone call up and say, you know, they want a track title or swimming title, whatever, but this is one they would actually care about. They will toot their own horn about, because if you are in the midst of a online conversation and people are telling you you haven't won a title since the 30s, and then you roll up here with, wait a minute, remember that track title we won? No one's gonna care. It's not good enough in these conversations. A baseball title is still on the lower rung of the major titles, but at least it's something that gets broadcast on ESPN on a Monday night.
It's on ESPN.
ESPN has so many channels, but at least on main.
It's on big ESPN.
It's on regular ESPN while the Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 is on ABC. You have regular big-time ESPN. It's going to have this game. You can toot your horn. You're beating another SEC team for a title. Sean, as a Texas fan, Where would the laughter rank if A&M gets to the final game after having a 1-0 lead in the series and doesn't close it out? Where will your Texas people be in terms of, look, you're going to laugh if they lose because it's just fun because of how much they thought this was going to happen. But it doesn't rank more. It wouldn't rank higher than, say, you know, losing in a title game or in either of the men's basketball or the college football playoff title game. Is it enough to make your night if they lose? Because your A&M hate is strong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see how the Stanley Cup final go. Maybe it offsets my night. But yeah, the laughter will be there. And also I have the built-in of, it's baseball.
Even if you're doing, who cares?
We're doing this with baseball.
What are you guys getting so excited about? It's just college baseball. Oh, and we say that the SEC treats it like a big deal. We'll see. Texas, I know, big time baseball program.
Fire their coach this morning.
Will it go up another level? Now that you're in the SEC,
I guess.
Well, you have to match the energy that the SEC schools provide.
I think the energy will have to ratchet up. I don't know if the program I don't know if there's like when we talk about football teams moving up the conference power spectrum, and, well, you know, they're going to need some more big bodies. Uh-huh. I don't know if they're going to need more big bodies.
More big fast guys on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. They need more pitchers? I don't know.
But the investment maybe is a better way to put it.
They already invest a lot.
I know. Texas is Texas.
Hey, three Director's Cups in 4 years.
No, we're not going to use this. That's like if
wait, no one cares about that?
No, no one
does. It's all the sports combined.
Yeah, but no one cares about that either. No one cares.
Okay. But baseball, we're...
Well, when you
we're
have...
all a, in. We're all in this on baseball.
This is what I'm asking. Will you
they
even,
play with metal bats.
If they even win, will you scoff at them winning a baseball title?
I played baseball with a metal bat. What are you talking about?
Man, I'm certainly not a D1 athlete.
Yeah.
Yes, this is my level. I know it's a big deal.
Championship games being played in Omaha.
No, I guess. I mean, the women's College World Series played in Oklahoma City, so I'm not,
it's better than Omaha.
Yes, it is.
They have a basketball team at least.
Yeah, Omaha's never getting a basketball team. They'll just stick with Creighton, I guess. So you don't think it's that big of a deal if they win?
I mean, personally, no.
No,
I don't. Like, yeah, I'll say that even if like Texas won, I'd be like, sick,
awesome,
love it.
Go about my day.
Yeah, just go about. Cool. Tip my cap.
Yeah. Nice job, guys. When's football
again,
season?
They fired Texas fired their baseball coach, and I was just like, good, I guess. I don't know. They didn't make the College World Series. Good. Fire.
Yeah, it's late June. Football season's right around camp is right around the corner.
Also, do these kids get a summer break at all? Or are they taking class right now? Is it online only class? How are we still playing college sports on June 24th?
Yeah. The final day.
These kids are students.
We care about that now. The final day of baseball season is June 24th. That's late. Of course, everything's bigger because, you know, you had TV, you had more games, and people feel like college baseball's profitable or entertaining enough to put it on TV. So now you get the chance where you get a 3-game series, and it goes down to the final day. Possible day. That it could go to, it has, as Tennessee will play A&M for a chance to call themselves champion. We will certainly talk about it tomorrow. The show will be more entertaining if they lose because we'll have a guy who will laugh at an A&M loss. I'm not rooting either way because I'd be phony if I'm like, you know what? I really hope A&M wins. I don't care if they win. If they win, cool. If they don't, whatever.
That I mean, I'm not at whatever because going. I think just winning the first game is funny. Winning the first game and then losing the next two
yeah.
would be funny. But like even that, like I just can't get it up for college baseball. Sorry, I just can't do it.
Phrasing. Understood.
My metal bat doesn't swing for baseball. All right.
And those things can't. Well, there's no real limp joke you can make about metal bats because they're just going to be there.
That's but why they're metal.
But I get your point. I grew up watching college baseball. You know, when I could, mostly it was on CBS. It wasn't like it was now, where you can see games on ESPN3 whenever you want. So I cared about the College World Series. But at this point, kudos to A&M for getting there. If they win, cool. If not, we'll all survive.
I would just ask, like, who won last year's College World Series?
Was it LSU? I think I remember that. I think.
All right.
Maybe because of Paul Skeens. I think I remember it was LSU. I can't be sure.
Okay.
I'll look it up. La Salsa, we see you. We'll get to you on the other side. But before we get to him, when we come back, we'll hear from one of the stars of the weekend, one Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman heating up. He's heating up a little later than usual, but it's about that time for Alex Bregman to get going. And he's been part of this Astros recent run of playing good baseball. We'll hear from him when we come back.
Kane is in the building now.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
No, it's awesome. Debut is always special, like you just said. It's awesome to see them come in and compete like that in the strike zone. Sally did a great job of executing a game plan, and very happy for both of them.
You had a great day at the plate, but there was some serious offensive performances by you guys, not just today, this series. What do you think?
No, I thought the offense came and showed.
Got cut off there, but that's Alex Bregman discussing the weekend that was and the debuts. Like guys like King came out there and did the job. The Astros have gotten contributions from guys either you've really heard of because you are big into their minor league system, or you're just watching the transactions roll through as they're trying to replace guys who get injured. We know about Salazar, who was big last week. King came in. Yeah, he wasn't in a high-pressure situation, but he came in and got the job done. And the Astros go on to sweep the Orioles. As I always say, if you call him with a fake name, you have to wait. Call him with your real name, we'll get to you as quickly as possible. So La Salsa has some Astros comments. What's up?
Hey, buenos dias, Delvincito. I want to congratulate the Astros on, a five-game winning streak. But, hey, have you ever seen this movie called Bone Tomahawk on Hulu?
I have not.
You need to watch it, man. It probably has the most brutal death scene I've ever seen in any movie. Watch it, man. Later.
It's gotten good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Over 91%. So it's not just an obscure, hey, look at someone die in a really awful way. Kurt Russell's in it, Patrick Wilson, Matthew Fox, Lily Simmons. I just look her up. I could name some of the stuff she's been in, but you probably wouldn't know unless you watched Banshee. If you've seen Banshee with Anthony Starr, who is now Homelander on The Boys, you would recognize Lily Simmons. David Arquette is in there as well. So a lot of people who are, you would probably say, on the B to C level of Hollywood right now, you'll know them. You'll recognize their face. Hell, the dude from Lost, Matthew Fox, is in it too. So a lot of people who probably couldn't lead a movie on their own, but you put them all together and it looks like you get a good movie. It's about the Old West, and Kurt Russell is a gunslinger, and there's a big death in it. So maybe I got Hulu. I might take a look. It is, a little over, what would you say, 72 hours away from the NBA draft. It's on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's on Wednesday night. Yeah. I'm terrible with that, hours away.
Yeah, I'm bad with that, too.
It's Wednesday night.
Yeah. Yeah, we got plenty of time. There is no countdown clock on ESPN, but the draft is coming up, and we've kind of chronicled all the reports regarding the Rockets, and this is a time where the rumors will start to fly, whether it be about who they will draft or whether they're going to use the pick, and almost a consensus, it feels like, is if they don't trade the pick, it'll be Reed Sheppard. There's another report out on that, and if you listen to the show, you kind of know how we feel. It's much like how Sean feels about the World Series tonight, the college World Series in baseball. Eh, whatever. If it's Reed Sheppard, I would chalk it up to a lack of high-end talent in this draft. And they've decided to pick a guy who has a particular skill set they felt is needed, which means they won't tell you this because no team is going to openly say we're drafting for need. But they're drafting for the need of shooting. This is a team who lacks people you can depend on to knock down shots. Whether Reed Sheppard's shooting is enough to keep him on the floor with Ime Udoka, that's up for debate. We know about the depth chart when it comes to the backcourt as it currently stands. You've got guys who you would think would play over him, whether because of age or just out and out being better players. That'll be something to be worked out if he is the pick. But yeah, this comes from it's not really Pro Basketball Talk, even though it's kind of what it is on NBC Sports. But Kurt Heelan puts it out there. He has his mock draft, and he talks about the Rockets and their need for shooting. Reed Sheppard, good from three, or you might say great from three, and he thinks he can be a good defender. The question is, can his ability to disrupt offenses on the college level transcend to the NBA, where he's going to be, for the most part, one of the smallest people on the floor night to night? He's just an undersized shooting guard. Those guys generally don't fare well. And can he get his own shot? Will he be a screen merchant? A guy who will need screens to get open? Or will he be a guy who's simply a corner shooter? I don't know how much value there is in that. If he can be a great movement shooter, cool. Are they going to run him off screens to get him looks? Or is he going to have to do it off a ball screen? Those are some things that will be determined no matter where he goes. The other stuff coming out are the Rockets looking at veterans that they could acquire. The names that are coming really fast and furious at this point, Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant are two guys the Rockets are allegedly looking into to see if they can acquire one of them as they try to fast forward this rebuilding process. And the other one is Paul George. Paul George is a guy who many believe is going to opt in and then ask for a trade. He would have one year left. It'd be a player option if he doesn't want to reach free agency. The problem for Paul George is, can he bully the Clippers into trading him where he wants? He's a guy who may have less leverage than he thought he would, because the Sixers, at least the reports, are being public about not craving Paul George on the roster, which means there's not a team who can sign him to cap space that he might want to go to. So the Clippers are like, why would we honor your request to be traded here if they're not going to offer us what we want when you don't have any other place to go? It could be very contentious, or it could be very easy if it becomes a bidding war. So Paul, that's a name that the Rockets are allegedly interested in. And the thought here, at least for me and Sean, certainly we can hear from you as well. If you're the Rockets and you think Paul George elevates you to, and that's the problem. What is Paul George isn't a franchise changing player. He's not. He's a fine player. We talked about this. Top 20, 25 player in the league. Cool. What it will take to acquire him, what does it mean for your team? This was a question certainly when Jimmy Butler was floating around back 5 years ago. Could he change the complexion of a franchise? And he surprisingly did. People didn't think he could do it. He did it. Paul George is older than what Jimmy Butler was when he was traded by the Sixers. I don't know if I'm giving up a lot to be the sixth seed in the playoffs. I think that's where Paul George tops out for this team if nothing happens as far as internal growth. I think if there's great internal growth, Paul George can be a good piece on a team that it might compete for a 4 or 5. I still don't think they're better than the top three we saw this past season. And that's not even thinking about where Memphis will be if they're healthy.
Mm. Or any of the other young teams
that might get better, yeah,
around, you know, in the same neighborhood as the Rockets. But yeah, I think a most important thing is internal development.
Is Paul George the Kirk Cousins of this offseason?
I like it when you spring something like that on me, like a weird comparison on me, because I get what you're saying, where he's not the top level star.
He's not the best player on a title team.
Yes.
But is he
the best player available this offseason?
Yes. Is he the best player on a team that is a top four seed, this version of Paul George? Or does someone else on the Rockets have to be better than him?
I mean, I kind of hate, or it's not anything like specifically against you. I kind of hate is he the best player on a X team? But because is Jason Tatum the best player on a title team? You go, maybe. Easily won a title this year because it depends on how good all the other guys are.
Well, this is my point about Paul George, or in just this particular thought process of acquiring a veteran. You're acquiring guys in their early to mid 30s. The names I mentioned, Butler, yeah, Durant, Paul George. What's the end game for these guys? To shepherd the young guys, to let them understand what it means to make the playoffs, and then when these guys inevitably get too old to be real contributors, these guys are ready. That was my confusion with the Falcons taking Kirk Cousins. He's going to take it to a level that's going to be better than what you are, but it ain't the ultimate level. So acquiring Paul George does what for this team?
I think it
makes them a playoff team.
Yeah, it puts you in the playoffs with, and then you have Paul George and a bunch of 22, 23-year-olds in the playoffs. So there is value in just kind of having the certainty that your young players will be able to get their feet wet in some big boy basketball games. There is definitely some value in that. It's also, we got to talk about the price of adding Paul George. If we're talking about just upgrading the Dylan Brooks spot and then some matching salary to do it, send it in. Let's make it happen. Or just the number three, the Dylan Brooks spot, just because you need to make the money work, and having a $20 million chunk of it being the guy he would be replacing in the lineup, that makes it easier. Do that. Some I don't know. The Clippers want Jayshon Tate, Jock Landale. Sweet. Love
you,
it.
You think this Clippers are a soft touch?
Number three overall pick?
They're probably going to want that. If the only players are getting are the Landales or...
Oh, they love themselves the some Jayshon Tates. And so they have PJ Tucker's. Jayshon Tate.
Yeah, why would, 10 years why would older. They want another one? This is a team maybe will delude themselves into thinking Kawhi plus whoever they can get back, and if they re-sign James Harden, can be a contender.
And Dylan Brooks was born to be a Clipper, let's be honest.
to be underwhelmingly disappointing at times?
To be the running mate with James Harden.
I mean, Kawhi is there. The running mate with James Harden.
Oh, I'm sorry. To be the running mate of Kawhi Leonard for 45 games a season. And then not the playoffs.
Great.
Because Kawhi Leonard has not played the last Clipper playoff game since 2020.
Yep.
He just does not play. Like, he gets hurt in the playoffs.
Didn't stop them from giving him that extension, which is one of the points of contention with Paul George.
Yeah, and now they're like playing hardball with Paul George.
Paul George, wait a minute.
What?
When we're getting eliminated, I never see this guy out there. He's always sitting on the sideline.
I have some slight injury. Like, there's always a every year there's a injury with Paul George. He's like, at least I'm out there most of the time. Like, at least I hover around 60 games. Kawhi Leonard just never plays in the playoffs.
And yet,
hey, got to sell out the new arena.
We'll see how many Clipper fans.
I'm sure. I don't know how much they'll love it when injury management Kawhi's out. Sorry, Clipper fans.
It'll be a nice place to watch a ball game or not show up to it, depending on how they feel. Depending on how Kawhi Leonard feels on a certain day. So those are the guys that are out there, and of course the price always matters. Not only what you're giving up, but you're going to give Paul George a max extension as well.
Yes.
If you make the trade. If he opts in, that'll be the next step in the process. It's much like what you did with Chris Paul. It wasn't a max, but you told Chris Paul, hey, at least that's the rumor that we're going to trade for you, and wink, wink, once your contract is done,
gotcha.
You're going to get a big deal.
Yeah. I as far as the guy, well, is Kevin Durant even available? Like,
I don't know why
the Rockets can want Kevin Durant all they want.
Yeah,
is he available?
It's a lot of we're going to check in and see if the Suns would even consider it, but the thought of him actually get worming out of there would be feels crazy to me, mostly because this is the third team, well, mostly the second team that he has asked or he has chosen to go to after the Golden State Warriors experiment didn't fail. He won his two titles, but he had to get out of there for whatever reason. I can't see him telling Phoenix, get me out of here. They may try, just if they decide to reset, doesn't feel like it should be a thing to do. But but even him, Kevin Durant, he's in the same mode as Paul George, just a little bit older. He's a better player. But we've seen Kevin Durant with Devin Booker. Badly constructed team, but he had Devin Booker in. Yeah, we make our jokes about Bradley Beal. And that team was a first-round swan dive out of the playoffs. So it's all about price for all these older guys. Can the Rockets get them at what they would consider a reasonable price?
Yeah, I just don't think Durant's available because you look at how he left Golden State. Everyone knew he was leaving since like the All-Star game when him and Kyrie were openly talking about what are we looking at? So you know for 6 months that he's leaving. When he left Brooklyn, he demanded a trade in July and then rescinded.
And then asked for it again
in February. So there's normally a long lead up to the, like, he's, I think if Kevin Durant wanted out of Phoenix, we would know. And I don't think Phoenix is going to trade Kevin Durant until Kevin Durant would want to be traded, because they're kind of pot committed with this team that they got. So I don't even view him as available. And then if we're just doing, or if we're looking at either George or Jimmy Butler, as far as the target, I would prefer Paul George just because of the shooting. Like, it's literally just the shooting and slightly more durable than Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler shot over 40% from three, but on low volume.
He doesn't take it.
He doesn't take like six or seven.
Because his percentage would go down.
Yeah, it's about, I think it was around 3 per game this past season. Devin Booker's 27. So if we're talking about the Suns wanting to kind of revamp, it's not like he's 31. So I could understand if, you know, they had a conversation with Kevin Durant and you go, look, it's not going to work here. We would send you to a place you might like. We just need to recoup some things and tell, and we'll be honest with Devin Booker and say, hey, for a year, probably aren't going to be what you think you should be, but give us some time. I could see that because of his age. He won't be 28 until October. That's a guy you could make. You don't want to because he's in his prime. That's a guy you could take a year off as far as contending for a title, maybe contend for a playoff spot, and let him know we're going to be right back in the fold. We're still always trying to win. That's the Suns' one thing they have. They have a young in their prime superstar, not one of these older guys we're having a discussion about. So as Wednesday approaches, I'm sure there'll be more news, and if anything happens, we'll let you know about it. There are a couple other things we're going to get to as far as what happened over the weekend. The USMNT won their game, which there's a problem with their nickname, mostly because it's not a nickname, it's just an acronym. When you know, you have teams in the world called the Azzurri. Like, Italy has a cool name. The fact that we are the USMNT speaks to why we're not a serious soccer-playing country. We'll talk about what happened in Copa America when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome. This I was talking about over the weekend, at least to myself in my head. When we get calls about this specific show, how do we handle it? I've decided that we will have spoiler discussions during that Michael Carroll segment. Because, you know, we're talking TV, we're talking movies. We danced around some of the stuff last week. But I feel like if we're going to talk about House of the Dragon, we're going to do it in that show, in that segment. It makes sense to do it there to save people from what's trying to happen here. Julian wants to talk about it, but Julian, I'm warning you. We're not spoiling the show for people. So if you do want to call back.
I'm only going to talk about episode one.
Well, even still. I've already laid it down. We're talking about that show Fridays at 11:30 because I don't want to do that to people.
Okay, so Fridays at 11:30 is when we. So, but what I'm curious about is it used to be 48 hours.
Yes, but this show upsets people when it gets spoiled more than normal. So I get the 48 hour rule, and normally I would. Like, I will use 48 hours when I'm talking in my normal life about something, but, you know, I don't know when people's schedules, so I'm setting it aside.
Also, it's been a week.
Look,
Are they ever going to?
We actually have a segment dedicated to TV. So if you want to talk about that show, House of the Dragons, you know a time and a place, and everyone knows. So that's the time if you don't want stuff spoiled for you. I don't want you to tune
all
out,
right, well,
but you know better.
In that case, I'll see you on Friday, and we're going to rock out with the Brock out. Peace out.
That's another almost bannable.
Okay. It's
terrible.
Getting too comfortable.
Yeah. I think he's done that before.
I feel like another suspension is around the corner.
This is what I'm saying.
Just with the nature of the call and throwing a little slogan in there.
Yeah. Parole. He's
watching you.
He's on parole. Watch yourself. Make your next appointment. Make sure you got a job by the next time we talk to you. Show up on time. So yeah, we'll do that with Michael Carroll because I don't want to have people have that spoiled for them. So we'll do that then.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that isn't spoiled because these have been two action packed episodes
Unless
to start
John,
the season.
John said there's too much talking. I was like, wait a minute, have you seen what's gone down? How much of that do you want? I said, me personally, I love all the conversations in rooms because a lot of that stuff hits and it leads to stuff that's going to happen later in the series. And then we had two action set pieces as well.
Yeah, and I was just saying, so much has happened that I don't know what could be the, like, something to mention that isn't a spoiler, you know, in some way.
Yeah, I don't even like dancing around it.
Yeah,
I'd rather
it's
just
like
talk
hard
about
to talk about because it's all so condensed yes. and action-packed. Maybe if we're going to get upset about talking, if they're going to talk in rooms, talk like Otto does, talk like Agan does, where they're making stuff happen. They're yeah. throwing stuff.
Yeah, people are saying words that are impactful, and they're leading to consequences. I appreciate that. So, yeah, we'll set that aside.
Those sailors, though, keep that.
Yeah, I don't know where that's...
They better pay off on that storyline.
I imagine book readers know that that's a thing. I don't know. But it does seem out of context for all the stuff we're seeing, to see these two guys talk about...
Two guys we don't know.
Carrots in their pots and stuff like that. It better lead to something. But, you know, you heard him say what he said about what is owed to them. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. I did want to get to this before we were distracted. Just a comparison between watching the Euros earlier in the day and then Copa America. And you know, the broadcast is the same company. Fox does it. So it's not like you're looking at very different ways of putting on soccer, but I think it's just the environment. The U.S. win last night. They beat Bolivia 2-0. It was fine. They're fine. They scored early, weren't really challenged, probably should have scored four or five goals, just missed some opportunities in front of them. It was a dominant, no worries performance. Fine. And they got Panama up next. That's a game they should win too.
It was like Astros Orioles.
Yeah, pretty much. There was nothing to worry about throughout. They should beat Panama and then go into the Uruguay game. Not worrying. Going to try to win the group, and we'll see how that plays out. But did you watch this game, Sean? Or even catch a little bit of it?
No, I did not. I saw the goals.
Yeah, the environment, they're playing games in Arlington. They're playing games around the country, clearly. And I think the biggest issue is they're just playing in places that aren't soccer specific. Like Germany, another host country, was playing earlier in the day, and the difference in environment, mostly because we couldn't do any better than calling ourselves the acronym of the team. We're not serious, I would say. I mean, Greg Berhalter would imply we're not serious, but besides that, it's just the difference in the atmosphere for the Germans in a game where they were down for most of it, and then they eventually tied it up late.
I saw that one. That one was sick.
Compared to the 100,000 seat stadium that's built for Super Bowls. It's not built for soccer.
Wine and cheese crowd.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got your American Outlaws, which is a crappy name too. But you got them, and they stand up throughout the match. But it's just the vibes aren't the same. You can't get them. You're playing in soccer-specific stadiums that are, you know, bigger than the ones we have here, bigger than 20K. They're in the 40,000 range to 50,000 range, depending on the stadium. So you're going to get great environments. And sure, it would sound better if you're playing – FC Dallas play, but you're not gonna put a Copa America in a 25,000 seat stadium. It's just not how it works out.
Part of it is that the Germany can have soccer specific stadiums that are big enough because the German
That's
league
the
has
sport.
Yeah, they can just support more soccer they support soccer more.
Yeah,
where that's just not the case with the U.S. that. It actually is a hard to get 100,000 people in a stadium in Arlington that are all going to be passionate because, like we heard with John when we had on someone from NRG to talk about the Mexico-Jamaica game, you're going to have a lot of drunkenados who just want the free tickets.
Sure.
Or just, you know, talk about a wine and cheese crowd. You know, he's just going to sit there. He doesn't know any of the chants.
No, not a chance.
So, but there is a little bit of like, oh, hey, look what's in town. Sure, I'll swing by. Where in Germany, you don't have that class of fan where it comes to the Euros doesn't exist. That's interesting.
Yeah, the Dutch aren't just going to Netherlands, going to Germany just to check out a game and see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm going to guess in Arlington, there's a few people that are just like, yeah, all right.
It's a
can get some from our work or something. Yeah,
it's an
go.
Event in our town. They're going to try to fill the place up as much as they can. The crowd wasn't bad. It's just, you know what you're getting. You're not going to get the level of passion, so it just sounds different. But hey, it's been a problem for years, and it has to do with a lot of things. It just doesn't help that you're playing in stadiums built for Super Bowls, and that's where they're all going to be. Like, I think they play in Atlanta next. That's a stadium with the Super Bowl in mind. It's new. It's going to be. It's great. They play SEC title games there. They play national title games there. They play Super Bowls there. But It's not specific. And they get great crowds at the for the Atlanta team in town. You're not going to get that type of crowd for the U.S. versus Panama. It's just different vibes. And it's something we have to deal with as soccer fans in this country. But we'll take the win, and we'll see how the Panama game goes. And I think my standard for this team, they haven't won a knockout round game in a major tournament in a long time. I mean, I think it's been since 2016 when you exclude like the Nations League or Copa or the Gold Cup.
I was gonna bring up Nations League.
Yeah, no, yeah. I said a major tournament, Sean. And sure,
Nation League doesn't matter, Dale. Nation League champs.
The back to back to back. I think at this point, I know the Gold Cup is. I know it crowns the champion of CONCACAF. So what?
Oh, come on.
So what? Go win it. Look, it's even in your home country. Go win a knockout round game. Please, at some point. It's got to happen. They haven't done it since 2002 in the World Cup. And they, like I said, they were the last time I think it happened was the Copa that was here, 2016, I think. Let's pick up the pace, guys. Let's win a game where it's win or go home. That'd be a nice first step. Forget about all this golden generation stuff. Win a knockout round game.
I do feel like golden generation implies that you win at some point.
Not if you're Belgium. They got that. Well, they won. They were more successful, but Belgium never won anything of any consequence. Like, you could call Croatia. They've never won a World Cup or a Euro, but they've been in the final.
Yeah, they made a final. And yeah. they're Croatia. Like, not. I don't mean that offensive. I just mean that they're a small nation that yes. made a final.
And yeah, they played well. They've had these guys. In fact, they're starting to cycle some of those guys out now because they're older. We'll see what they do today. I think they have to win, I think, to advance. I think that's how it works out for them today in the Euros. But hey, Pulisic scores, Balogun scores. Cool. I don't really care about beating Bolivia so much. You're at home. You should beat Bolivia. Whoever you see in the second round, it would help if you win the group because
you
see a worse team. Let's get that done, and then we can have a conversation about what this team can accomplish.
So need a win against Paraguay, right? Is that who's next?
Panama. They play Panama, which is a team from CONCACAF. They should be able to handle in Atlanta.
And then need a result from Uruguay.
Uruguay won their game, so who knows what they'll need, but they're probably going to have to win if Uruguay beats Bolivia, which they're expected to do. That might be winner gets into the gets it because they're both +2 in goal differential right now. Who knows what it'll be and how game two will go for each team, but it might be if you win the group. Anything less, you could possibly be facing a much tougher opponent in the second round, and I don't really trust Berhalter.
No,
in the second round against anyone who you might consider tough.
Is there a way that U.S. can draw, like, Brazil? Like, who are the teams that they're likely to?
I'll look that up. I think there's – I don't know if there's an Argentina possibly on the other side.
Yeah,
in the
I just
want round.
To know what – is there some monster on the other side where if they don't win their group, it's like, sweet, now they play – oh, I guess they got a result from against Brazil. But, you know, you're playing some team that
I think there's a chance of a monster South American country if they don't win the group. Okay. As long as that team does and the U.S. doesn't, there's a chance of that. I'll figure it out. We are way late. We will continue with other things beyond the beautiful game. There's a story about the Olympics in France that I want to get to involving dirty water and how the people there want to make it dirtier. It's weird, but we'll get to that. We'll get to some of the notes from the Astros weekend as well. We talked about them. We'll get back to them. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is where you go to if you have thoughts on who's going to win this Game 7 between the Panthers and the Oilers. Will the Oilers make history? Will the Panthers become infamous? You can put money down at MyBookie. No Astros tonight, but maybe you think the Aggies will win the College World Series. Go to MyBookie for that too. And of course, you've got soccer all throughout the day where MyBookie will take care of you there too. Remember the sign-up bonus. Just use promo code BET975. use that promo code, and you get a sign-up bonus. And with that first deposit, up to $1,000. If you're an existing customer, that it works for you too. So you got sports betting, you got the live casino. If you like blackjack, you have a chance to deal with the live dealers giving you the cards. So it gives you a really great interactive experience. So you got the live casino, you got the live betting, you got the experts who can help you out. Maybe you're not an expert in the world of soccer or hockey. The experts will walk you through it and get you set up to have a great night tonight. Remember, bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.